Say, oh, we got another announcement. What do we got?
Happy birthday.
Oh, to who? Oh. Louis? Wow.
He doesn't remember how old
he was. No person. All right, let's sing happy birthday to him. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Louis. Happy birthday to you. Okay, we're going to turn in our Bibles two places. 2 Timothy 4. And 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Timothy 4 and 2 Corinthians 10. Let's see if we can get through this here. And let's see how far we get.
Well, this is what 2 Timothy 4.
The Bible says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood.
Yes.
That is what this shirt is in honor of. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. You ever consider the treasures in the snow? 2 make something spiritual out of it. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 and 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Well, it looks like we're going to be a little bit late this today. That's okay. It's that gentleman's fault, right? Oh, Brother John, what about, football's going to be on. We're going to miss football. I think I got a couple months before then. Amen. We'll be done. Don't worry about it. 2 Corinthians 4 or 2 Timothy 4. Let's look at 2 Timothy 4. I think 2 Timothy 4 might be 1 Timothy 4. Man, I can't even read anymore. This is scary.
Want my glasses?
No. Okay, it's actually 2 Timothy 3. Verse 1 to 3. I'll take your memory if you get your memory. 2 Timothy 3, verse number 1, 2, 3, 4, and verse number 5. That's what we want to look at. The Word of God says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Yeah? Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parent, unthankful. And he goes through a list of things, but he begins with lovers of their own selves. We kind of want to highlight that in our memory as we go through this. And this is addressing the Christian body when he says about in verse number 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. So a form of God, a form of humanism, a form of religion, amen? A form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. There's lots of people that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of. The power thereof is in the cross, in the gospel. And so we're seeing that the church is getting pulled into that mentality. We're going to look later on, I'm going to address later on Revelation 3, because that's the church in the last days. The church is going to get pulled into this conventional idea and agenda of what pleases God. And then now jump over to chapter 4. I charge thee before God, verse 1, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And he says, preach the what?
Word.
The word. Now look at how he mentions this. Preach the word. Be instant in. Can you imagine sitting in an entire Bible study not hearing Bible? Or an entire sermon here, one or two verses? Amen? I'm not saying I tend to use a lot of scripture, but not having the scripture as the basis for what you're building upon. That's the idea. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And he tells you, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves. There's the themselves again. Teachers in verse number 3. Themselves. Teachers. And this is interesting, we want to see right here. He says, having itching ears. In 2 Timothy 4, we jumped over to chapter 4, verses 1, 3, 2, 3, and 4. He talks about they're going to have itching ears. And I've also thought about this, because it's the only other time you find something itching in the Bible. It's in the book of Leviticus. And it has to do, Leviticus or Deuteronomy, but it has to do with God's going to smite you with the itch. And he says it can't be healed. So this is incurable. Itching ears, and I don't know if you get itching ears, you want to rub it and pull it and yank out, dig down inside. Itching ears in the last days. That's important to recognize as we go through the idea of the theme of this lesson, because it's going to involve elves. And we're going to understand, based on this portion of where it's going to take us, why elves have pointed ears. Itching ears, itching ears, itching ears. They have itching ears. And so he says here, they shall turn away their ears from the truth. They don't want the word of God. The truth is the word of God. Preach the word. Thy word is truth. I kid you not, Christians don't want the word of God anymore. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. And what takes the place of truth if you turn away your ears from it? Fables. Fables. The Brothers Grimm have a series of stories that they've collected over the years when they were alive. And their fairy tales, there's one of them that was very popular from Bavaria, and it was adapted into an animated film by Walt Disney. It's Walt Disney's first, and I think their most successful of all their animated feature-length films, 1937. It's a fable about Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And Snow White is the first fictional female character in a as a star of the cinema that receives a personal star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. She's famous, but she's a fable. And I want to kind of take off on that to understand there's the devil originates nothing. He takes elements of truth. Every theme of every movie or book is taken from the Bible. And so you want to understand as we go through this that this fable about Snow White is actually a truth that's been twisted. Amen. It's replacing something. People that have itching ears would prefer hearing this than they would hearing about what the Word of God says. Now look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Because I'm going to preach a message, but it's not going to be about Snow White. It's not so Snow White. And it's not going to be about her dwarfs. It's going to be about her seven elves. The not so Snow White and her seven elves. You'll see them in 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. The not so, I told you, I've looked at this and I've always chuckled whenever I've ever seen this because this is what jumps out at me. The not so Snow White and her seven elves. This is the plague of the church in the last days. The self-life. Elves. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Our battle it's not carnal. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, See, high things aren't bad if God is given the position on, of that high thing. Amen? He dwells in high places. But so does Satan. And he wants to knock God off of his throne. That's what we want to look at, this depiction of the self-life, when we see the not-so-Snow White and her seven elves and identify them. See if it can help you in your own personal life. Amen? He says, exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, he's building up to play on words, this word that ends in elf. It's the self-life. It's purposely done. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled, do you look on things after the outward appearance? Do you? That's what the self-life does. If any, so you're going to see that it the self-life is driven with comparison and competition in an unhealthy way. Because comparing isn't always wrong. You learn from other people. Competition isn't always wrong. You strive to be better. It's only wrong if it's not to the glory of God. Because then you're knocking him off of that high place that only he belongs on. Amen? And so he says, if any man trust, verse 6, when your obedience is fulfilled, do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself, see how he's accentuating this and he's going to build up. It's just incredible how Paul, this is by design. If any man trust of himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again. He's reiterating this. The self-life. That as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authorities, people are competing against Paul. They're associating the authority that God gave him and the recognition that he's getting as he addresses people as something in a position of highness that's elevated and respected and given praise and honor to that they want, not realizing that that's not what Paul wants. Paul's pointing them to Christ. And so he says, I should boast, think this again, that as he is Christ, even so we are we Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification. You get it? And not for your destruction. His authority wasn't to beat them down or to keep them under bondage. It was to liberate. True authority grants freedom. And it's not threatened by your freedom, even if you choose not to agree. And so he says, I should not be ashamed that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. They begin to say, Paul's not as bold in person as he is when he writes a letter. And boy, did they find out otherwise. For his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such a one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. He wasn't afraid because he spoke the truth. Mm-hmm. And look what he says right here in verse 12, because this is, it's supposed to be Snow White, but it's not. The not so Snow White and her seven elves, you're going to see him right here. He begins to repeat this. Now he blasts them right here. It's supposed to be a condemnation of the self-life. For we dare not make ourselves. See the elves right there? I'm telling you, my brother, any one single verse with this many elves is bound to get you bound up. There's trouble with all these mischievous little elves all in this one same verse. Sort of like, especially if you fall asleep. Snow White, the seven elves, or not so Snow White. Sort of like Gulliver's Odd. Didn't that fellow fall asleep? Next, you know, all these little people, putting them in bondage. For we dare not make ourselves, count with me now, We dare not make ourselves of the number. So let's number these elves. Or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. There's going to be seven of them. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But you got to get a hold of this. These little, tiny, little hiding, darting thoughts and motives constantly running around in your mind are oftentimes stirred thoughts from a spiritual world, amen, that are going to get you to compete and incite you to compare and try to take a position that belongs to Christ only. He's not speaking here with uncertainty or with a speech stuttering impediment, amen. He's speaking with irony and humor in your face, fables versus truth. That's what he's doing, amen. I love it. God often does this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. This isn't Snow White and her seven dwarfs. This is the not-so-Snow White and her seven elves. So let's look at the self-life based on this foundation and move forward in hopes that it would help us. Lord, I just pray that you would use this lesson and this message to just to drive home the fable of who we are of ourselves without Christ. So easily we can mistake the truth of the Word of God, forget and think that there's something about us that's praiseworthy. That's worthy apart from Christ. It's foolishness. It's silly, silly nonsense. It's mythical. And I pray that you would help us see this through a takeoff on a fable of the world that no doubt has been a spin from certain elements that are truths in the Word of God. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. The church is supposed to be Snow White. Amen. Lies and fables are based on truths. Legends are often twisted myths. The story considered the greatest animated cartoon film of all time involves a young girl who, before she was born, had a queen mother who made a prayer that she could have a child. She pricked her finger and the blood falls on the snow on an ebony lintel. And she sees the white as snow and the red blood lips and the dark black hair. And that's what she prays and beseeches that she could have as a child. And lo and behold, she does. But then eventually she dies. And the man, the king, marries another woman who's an evil-spirited queen who cares nothing about anybody but herself. And she's involved in this household and puts in bondage as a scullery maid, Snow White. And she has this magic mirror that she trusts and loves and adores because it supposedly always tells the truth. And she's oftentimes addressing it and speaking to it and saying, magic mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of us all? Magic mirror in my hand, who is the fairest in the land? And the magic mirror always answers the same, my queen, you are the fairest in the land. Until one day her young daughter grows older. Her name is Snow White because of the complexion of her skin. And her lips were bright ruby red like blood. And her hair was dark black like ebony. Ebony wood. And that's where she began to get the name Snow White. And her evil queen mother recognizes and realizes, because the mirror on the wall tells her, wait a minute, there's somebody more fairer than you. And he tells her it's Snow White. And so she hates Snow White, despises Snow White, wants to kill Snow White, and convinces a huntsman to bring her into the wood and kill her. And to prove that she's dead by reason of bringing her heart back to him in a box. And so he goes to do that, and Snow White pleads for her for mercy and pleads not to happen. And so he lets her go and brings the heart of something else in her place. But what she does is she runs through the wilderness and she finds a small cottage to hide in. to go to, and she takes some food, and she takes, you know the story, I would think maybe you've watched it with your kids, something in the past, and she, you know, she begins to take a little bit of food, and there's seven different chairs and seven beds, and she doesn't realize at the time, but it's a house that dwarfs live in. And these dwarfs are busy at working all the time, trying to find treasures in the hidden caves and caverns and mines of the area they live in. And they come home, and finally they find her there, and they recognize the treasure of Snow White was far greater than the gold they could find in the mines. And eventually her evil queen mother is successful in tempting her to eat of the toxic fruit, forbidden fruit, that causes her to appear to be dead. She falls asleep. And what I want you to see and recognize, eventually, this woman is broke free from this spell, because she is kissed by her Prince Charming. And he brings her away to live forever in his castle, never to be dealt with, having to deal with this evil queen again. And what we want to look at, I want to kind of take off on just that to understand how it parallels in the Christian life self, which in a weird kind of way is flesh fell backwards, in a weird kind of way. You see, the Bible talks about dwarfs. They're not mythological. They're not magical. They're not spiritual. They're, you know, people dwelling in Mid-Earth. I think J.R. Tolkien in his series popularized that concept. They're real live little people whose lot in life, because of their size, has limitations pertaining to that. And in the Bible, God is not somebody that gives an iota of about quotas. He did not allow them to partake in the ministry of the temple. It was forbidden. They weren't forbidden from the benefits and privileges if they were born in that line. They were forbidden to be part of that. Brother, just sometimes the self-life has to let go of what you don't have and understand what you do have. This is the self-life. Because I'll guarantee you, brother, in today's society, you could do anything. They have the LPA, the Little People's Association. Amen? You're not going to find any elves in the NBA or the first-string quarterbacks. There's limitations. You will have limitations. Amen? There's nothing wrong with that. Learn and discover those limitations. And don't pout and cry about them. It has to do in part with the curse. In Jesus Christ, there's no different or distinction. He makes no racial distinctions, nor gender distinctions. But to get in Christ, there are qualifications required. Amen? And let me tell you, people that are caught up in the self-life are going to struggle with getting saved. They're going to struggle with living a life that pleases God. The Bible talks about dwarfs. They're real people. But somewhere along the line, when truths have turned into fables, dwarfs have morphed into elves. They're in the same fictitious family of gnomes and trolls and goblins and fairies and leprechauns. Amen? Elves. And what we want to look at is not Snow White and the seven dwarfs. We want to look at the not-so-Snow White and her seven elves. And what you're going to see is all these elves we're going to look at. It's not my intent to make fun of them, but elves are fictitious. They're mythological. All elves in the self-life are little people that want to be big. They want to be big. People that want to be bigger than what they are struggling with the bondage of self-life, wanting to be something they're not. Self-life. Self wants to live. Self-life will compete with others to live, to survive. In the animal world, it's called self-propagation. They'll do anything to live, to continue their prodigy. In Revelation 3, the Bible talks about the last days. Revelation chapter 3 talks about the last days in the church and its last depiction, receiving a report card from God. And it's an interesting thing when God begins to address this church. Because he addresses this church and he says, you're lukewarm. He said, I wish you were cold or hot. And he said, because you're not cold or hot, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. What he's doing is he's going to compel Christians to make a decision one way or the other. Okay. Self-life or shelf life of the self-life. Amen. Because this is what you're seeing in the last days. The church wants to hold on to their self-life. And he begins to describe the church in the last days. And the very first word he uses draws an incredible connection to a chain. He says, you don't understand something, Laodicea, church of the people, church where everybody's rights are placed above God's, church where it's not politically correct to use the letters of the alphabet police, but you can use God's name as a cuss word. You could do anything you want, but you can't pray to Jesus in school. You could do anything you want, but you can't hang Ten Commandments up in the school or in a public environment. See, that's separation of church and state. The self-life is going to create its own church, and it's not going to be separate from state. It's going to put people in bondage. The self-life will do that to Christians. And he says, what you don't understand is you're wretched. The very first word. You realize the word wretched's only one other time in the Bible? It's in Romans chapter 7. So when you have that, that's an automatic link to a chain. The church doesn't understand Romans chapter 7 in the last days. And he says, I'm going to wear your word like a chain around my neck. It's supposed to be an adornment. Understanding your wretched condition is the self-life. That's what Romans 7 is all about. It's about the self. The not so Snow White and her seven elves. You see, the Bible says that we're supposed to deny. Let him, you're going to follow me? Let him deny himself. Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we will. But people will do anything to be like these seven elves. Work, 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 to merit God's favor. That's all they do. Looking for gold and treasure in these mines of the imagination. There's no treasure outside of Christ. Let him deny himself. And what we interpret that as is let us deny things from self. It doesn't say that. The Bible says let him deny himself and pick up his cross and follow me. Because when you deny yourself, you're learning what it means to die to self. Mm-hmm. Let him deny himself. The Bible says, let him purge himself from these. Not purge things from self. We mistake. If we don't have these things, we're purged. No, you're not. You're supposed to purge self from these things. The result follows, brother. That's what sanctification is all about. Amen. If any man purge himself, the self-life doesn't want to do that. Amen. The self-life is a sleeping church in bondage to whatever you want to do. It's asleep to God's will. It's asleep to who God is. It's the sleepy elf. I suppose you can call him sleepy. Oh, Brother John, the Bible says, arise, thou that sleepest. Amen. There's not a lot of time, brethren, to waste on ourselves. Christ is coming back. The Bible talks about this and warns about this. Brother John, you're just, you know, you're not letting me live. That's your self-life. You're self-absorbed. Amen. Constantly taking, you know, selfies. I guess you could call them elfies. Couldn't you? Amen. The last words spoken to Laodicea is that him that hath an ear. Hear. As a matter of fact, he says that to all seven churches. But the Bible says in the last days, we got itching ears. We don't want to hear that. We're digging for something. You know the only thing you're going to find in there, brother? Is wax. Amen. We're not supposed to wax. We're supposed to wane. Amen. The self-life builds you up. And the crucified life knocks you down. Selfless. Amen. Charity seeketh not her own. Amen. You think your wax is something God's going to use to start a fire? No, brother, wax burns and melts at the cross. Aren't you tired of self? I sure am. Amen. The self-life. Your biggest problem in life is the self-life. He's already paid for all your sins. Amen. The world is crucified unto you. The principalities and powers have been defeated at the cross. Their only inroads into your mind, amen, is self, the self-life. How great thou art. I don't want to hear how great thou art, how great I am. How great thou art. How great. We're going to see him.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thou art. Eating the fruit of the good and evil. Thinking it's the fruit of good versus evil. And this fruit is only can be good. What's wrong with it, says the self-life. And to sleep, the church falls. Under the spell of what the world is telling us what Christianity should be. Your self-life needs to be defined by what we say, and then it goes right into the next aspect of self. It's called self-love. Self-love. The Bible says I despise myself. I don't go home and beat up myself. I just know who I despise myself.
Amen.
The not-so-Snow White and the seven elves don't understand self-love. There's an overemphasis on self-esteem, self-love. Too many dates with self. We're inundated with self. Esteem self, magazine self, image self, airbrush self. Magnify you. You magnify self. The pimples look bigger, brother. Amen? I don't want to magnify self. They're big enough. Not so Snow White and her seven elves. Got to realize and understand, brother, the famous people in the world, you go look at what they look like without makeup. Look at what their private lives are without the protection of the magazines giving you a false impression. The not-so-Snow White and her seven elves. Self-life, self-love. Love, the Bible talks about lovers of self. That's self-love. That's the first on the list. Not understanding, brother, they're just ignorant of God's love. I suppose you could call this elf dopey, because he's not very smart. He's not intelligent. He doesn't understand. The Bible says, Jesus Christ to the last church, whom I love, I rebuke and chasten. Christians are thin-skinned. When you hear a message about Christ glorifying Christ, how are you going to glorify Christ without pushing you out of the way? Amen? Who stands in front of the throne of Jesus Christ? None do, brother. None do. Amen? Everybody bows. So everybody in the room can see him. Him and him alone who's worthy of praise.
Amen?
Amen. This is why they got pointed ears, brother. This is why. Amen? It's the self-life. I'm sick of them. Self-life, self-love. It's a dopey. I lost. Lots of people say I've lost God's love. You can never lose God's love.
Amen.
The Bible says that His love were inseparable. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now you can leave His first love.
Amen.
You read the churches in the very first church. It says they left their first love. Praise God, they didn't lose it. Amen. It's right there at the end of the church. He's waiting for them, whom I love. He's right there waiting, brother. Amen. So what do you got to put to death? Self-life. Put to death self-love. Amen. This is what you got to understand and recognize is what God been waiting for. You hear about the prodigal son in the Bible, in the Gospel of Luke. Actually, it's the prodigal sons. They both needed to discover about the father's love. How fast he gets up and he runs. Couldn't wait. Brother, when the Holy Ghost finally comes down, the Bible says it's a mighty rushing wind.
Yeah.
He can't wait for us to understand the power, the liberating power of the resurrected life that indwells us in the person of the abiding Christ. Holy Ghost, amen. He can't wait. He's hungry, desirous for us to understand what happened at that last meal, that last supper, which wasn't a last supper. It was the first of a never-ending memorial of the death of Jesus Christ as a celebration. God loves us in spite of ourselves, prodigal son. God's love isn't based on who we are. How could he love us if it was? You think he could love you based on who you are? That's self-love. God doesn't love me based on who I am. You silly little elf. Amen? That's a fable. That's self-love. He loves you because he is love. Own it. Amen. Praise the Lord. People keep wanting to think, well, make him feel good about you. What are you talking about? Feel good about yourself. Feel good about him. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. The prodigal son. Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Father runs to him and says, sure you are. Because I'm your father. Amen. Not because you're my son. You're my son because I'm your father. You're born again a son of God because Christ is your Savior.
Yeah.
Have you asked him to save you?
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with you.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Silence the nonsense of this not so Snow White and her seven elves. The self-life and the self-love. Then you got the other brother coming and saying, he gets all upset. He starts comparing himself to the brother that went and wallowed with the pigs. He's not worthy, but I should be worthy. He doesn't understand. Mm-hmm. He doesn't understand. God commanded his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for... Are you comparing yourself to these other selves all around? That's what elves do all the time. It's a competitive world, brother. Who's got the neatest trick? The greatest magic? The more power? You know, who's going to be in the spotlight? What fairy or leprechaun or elf is going to be? That's all they're worried about. Amen? Is that what's captivating you? That's the not-so-Snow White, the seven elves. Just always hungry to work and be busy and to show as if they're doing something. You're doing nothing. Amen? Come on, let's face it, brother. Amen? Of my own self, I can do nothing. The next elf we want to look at is called self-control. Self-life. Nobody wants to give up control. That's self-control. That's what our will has to do with. Who wants to give up their will? Who wants to surrender that? Man, I'll become in bondage. No, you're in bondage till you do, brother. The moment you asked Christ to save you, that was an act of your will surrendering to his. Amen? And your will surrendering to his brings you to the cross because that's where his will went.
That's right.
Amen? You're saved because of what Christ did. The Bible talks about that people that are presumptuous are self-willed. Is that not what we're studying about in the book of Joshua with the battle of Jericho and Ai? Amen? In order to maintain order over self. Amen? Self wants to take control. Self wants to take control all the time. You've got the seven elves and all their names, not realizing when Snow White goes into the village and convince the woods and goes into this small little cottage. She tells the elves when the dwarfs when they show up, which have been morphed into elves, "Can I stay with you, Mr. Elves, please?" And they say to her, "Well, if you will keep house for us, cook for us, if you will make the beds for us, if you will..." Gee, what's happening is she's becoming a slave without knowing it. Mm-hmm. "If you'll wash the dishes for us and knit for us and clean up for us and sweep for us and throw out the garbage for us and keep everything clean and in order for us, then maybe you can stay with us and have everything you want." Promising them liberty, the Bible says. They're in bondage. Who hasn't been in a church where you've gotten that? You've got liberty, but you're in bondage. Why? Because you can't do anything. In Christ, you're free. Completely free. You're not supposed to use your liberty as an occasion to the flesh.
Right.
Which is self spelled backwards, by the way, almost. Amen. You think you have control, but you don't. So what you going to do with your life? Famous elf question. Famous elf question. So what you going to do with your life? We've all asked, just out of curiosity and polite and conversation. Amen. But it's typical amongst a self house and a self environment. Amen. The elves are constant. So what are you going to do today? What are you going to do with your life? Well, I think I'll go to... I'm going to work up North Pole. I'm going to have success up there working the biggest toy factory in the world. I'm going to work with Santa. Amen. I mean, that's what my elf will is going to do. Amen. Well, I think I'm going to go to Pennsylvania and I'm going to work in the biggest, most successful cookie cracker factory in the world. I'm going to work with Keeblers. Amen. I think I'm going to go to Hollywood, humble myself a little bit so self can be raised up in some sort of side flick show in Hollywood. I'll work on The Wizard of Oz or something, or the remake of Snow White. Bound to be another one coming up. Amen? Always looking for stardom. Maybe I'll go show my face at the Elfish Mansion. I don't know, whatever the case may be, man. Whatever God wants for your life, when the self-life is put to death, is what you're going to be doing. Somebody said, well, what are you going to do? Really? Come on, brother. Who knows what any of us are going to be doing tomorrow? Do any of you know what you're going to be doing tomorrow? Mm-hmm. It's really in God's control, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So let's project that next week, next month, next year. Ultimately, you have plans based on what you think he's showing you. But to God be the glory. Self-life doesn't do that. Self-love doesn't do that. Self-will is stuck on self, amen? The not-so-Snow White and her seven elves. I guess you could call this elf. Doesn't get his way. I guess you call him, he's kind of grumpy. He doesn't get his way. He's the grumpy elf. Downright, he's always, no matter what you say, he's always going to say, I'm against it. Could we do that? I'm against it. Could we go here? I'm against it. You want to go with Ike? I'm against it. God always has an excuse why what he knows he should be doing, he doesn't do. Why he knows where he should be going or what he should be saying, he doesn't go where he doesn't say. I'm against it. He's grumpy, amen? Because it's not his will. My will, not thy will, God. And God, come on, brother, he's not hiding stuff from us. If you want an answer, the Bible says, well, what father's going to give a bunch of poisonous snakes or scorpions to his kid if he asked him for something, for an egg? Amen? The golden egg of faith, brother. Treasures. The self-life, self-love, self-control, self-will. Amen? You want control of your own life? There's that heartbeat again. Told you the other day. Boom, 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 boom. Pauses to ask God permission. If it could beat one more time. Oh, kind of silly, but kind of a fable. No, it ain't, brother. Because once your heart stops beating, it's only stopped beating because God didn't give it permission. Amen, Brother John. And I'm telling you, we all live one heartbeat drop away from eternity. From eternity, the most dangerous and safest place to be is Calvary. One heartbeat away from eternal life or eternal death. I'm on the eternal life side of that. Amen. Praise God. Yeah. Amen. The not-so-Snow White and her seven elves, it disturbs me because God said it makes me want to vomit. Where Christians are living their lives as though they're lost. Living their lives as though the temporary is more important than the eternal. The precious privilege to live by faith is being sacrificed on the altar of the temporary. Brother, that's a crying shame, amen? Selves do that all the time. They profess that they're going to live forever, but they're a fictitious figment of the imagination. What lives forever is the will of God. Amen. Am I right, Rahab? On the edge of eternity. Am I right, Christian, who's washed and covered in the blood of Christ? Amen. Amen. Your sins shall be white as snow. I think about Simon Peter. Had such a hard time with this elf. Elf constantly bothering him, amen. And he doesn't know what to do. But when he first meets Christ, he says, I'm going fishing. Later on, once it's all over, he goes right back again. I'm going to go fishing. People go with him. One time he's fishing all night long. See, fishing is something that he knew how to do. He was in control of this aspect of his life. Everything else is screwed up. I'm going fishing because I know how to fish. I know where to fish. I know the bait to use. Toils all night long. They caught nothing. Amen. Until Christ came. Well, why don't you try this side? You don't think over the course of 90, you don't want two sides. You don't think that idea came to the mind of that professional elf? Amen? Oh, okay. He didn't want to lose control. You know how many Christians are like, I'm trying to have a good marriage. It's not, why don't you turn it over to God? I'm struggling with problems with my kids or my job and I want a husband, or why don't you just turn it over to God? Yeah. Amen? Say, what's he going to do? He's going to do whatever he chooses to do in the time he chooses it and the way he chooses it. Let go of the reins of your life. Amen? Yeah. Self-life, self-love, self-control. I know what you need in your life. you knew Jesus Christ to rule and reign in your life. Self-pleasure. Self-pleasure, brother. I guess you could call this elf happy. At least his face looks happy. Amen. This little fella right here, self-pleasure. He's actually deceiving himself, thinking he's happy. Amen. But his celebrations always fall short. Don't you know what's going on in the church, brother, right now? Right now, our country changed course drastically when the winds blew this week in one day.
Yeah.
Amen. And the pace is picking up. And it's going to come just where the Bible says, the love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Amen. Those elves are constantly hiding in the mines. In the mines. How can I make more money? How can I be a success with more money? How am I going to get more money out of the people? Fairy tale land, brother. Amen. Gold, gold. If I just had more gold, I could do something better. I could be something better. You could call me elf happy. You know what's going to happen with Laodicea right around the corner, brother? It's coming. No tax exempt status.
Yep.
Unless you go along with the world's definition of what a church is. Amen. No more grants. No more funding. You may not even get a mortgage, a loan, a promotion. And man's conscience is being manipulated with a small people, the Bible talks about. He's going to lead and deceive and manipulate through laws. He frameth mischief. And people's consciences, their real conscience, is being seared and pirated, amen, into submission and obedience over guilt of things in the past. Who cares about racial issues? Who cares about gender choice issues? Amen? We're all sinners in need of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen? And you're not going to be saved unless you repent of your sins.
Right.
Whatever they are. Praise the Lord. People can't handle that. That's the self-life, self-love, self-will, self-pleasure. People don't want to let go of their sins. I read a story about a pirate that wanted to enjoy his pirating labors. He was tired of his thievering years and time was in the ocean. A storm came and he was holding on to his treasure chest. And it sunk the boat. And with that boat sinking, the treasure chest began to sink. And he had to make a choice. Sink with the treasure. Or swim without it and live. Christians are going to have to make decisions. God's going to push you off that fence. Amen. I would you were. Amen. Let me tell you right now, in the fable of the pirate, there isn't a happy ending either way. Esau wakes up with tears in his eyes and found no place for repentance. The Bible talks about the Christian who lives his life for this world. And desires to serve both God and mammon. And at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bible says he's saved. He himself is saved, yet so as by fire. Here's your secret of happiness. Brother, it's death to the self-life, self-love, self-will, self-pleasure. And it's life to God, Jesus Christ. Amen. And you'll have happy as that people whose God is the Lord. But to the world of small, little, insignificant people, who someday will face the Supreme Court judge. The celebration, there's something wrong with it when they have the colors of the rainbow parading on the White House. I don't know if you noticed it, but they were short one color on the rainbow. Their happiness falls short. They said, told one of the judges, you're going to regret not voting in favor of legalizing nationwide the redefinition of marriage, including gay marriage. You're going to wake up on the wrong side of history. No, you're going to wake up on the wrong side of eternity.
Yeah.
That's a frightening thing. Your idea of righteousness is different than mine. Your idea of a rainbow is different than mine. Here's another elf we're going to look at. Amen. It's a very quiet elf, extremely insecure. He's got a low self-esteem. I guess you could kind of call him. He's kind of bashful. Amen. He's bashful because he's afraid of getting bashed. Amen. He has a false humility. This is Mr. Self-pity. Constantly comparing himself. Constantly beating himself down. constantly taking the faults of others and owning them for himself. It's a lack of boldness. It's not humility. Amen? Taking the blame all the time means you're a bigger man. No, it might mean you're a smaller man than you think you are. That's what elves are. Throw a party and nobody comes. No big crowd comes. Never get a huge audience. Never get an attention. Do you, as a child of God, interpret your interpret God based on your circumstances? Then that will make God spelled with a little g. If you interpret your circumstances based on who God is, then that's going to keep him in the right spelling order. Capital G, brother. Amen. Everybody has problems, none of which are too big for God. You read about, you don't have to turn there, but Jonah had this problem. He was so caught up on himself, he didn't see what God was doing in other people's lives. Elijah had this problem, so caught up with his problems, he didn't understand that chariot was meant to be a blessing in his life, to bring him to higher ground, amen? Didn't understand what God was doing in his life. He was purging, brother. He was purging. Then you have that king called Saul, who throws a party when people are looking at David. He says, well, I'm going to throw a party. And he says, oh, you've conspired against me. There's none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse, and there's none of you that is sorry for me. It's a pity party. Self-pity. It's an elf. They're not so sure. You're pitying yourself? There's times when you need pity, brother. Let me tell you right now, like Job. But you got people that choke. They just want to be held and caressed. And it's like, poor, poor, poor little you. Let me tell you something. In America, brother, there's few of us that could be said to. And there's so few of us that could really be said to. Who in here doesn't have a car? Who in here doesn't have two cars? Who in here doesn't have a bedroom that they don't share with five other families? Amen? Who in here is going to eat three meals, not going to eat three meals today? You understand what I'm saying? It's a pity party. And mind you, we could go without a job for a year and still eat good and still have a cell phone. Amen? And still go on vacation. Self-pity. I tell you, that the not-so-Snow White and her seven elves. Everybody's got a song in the night. Amen? Don't forget that. Let me get moving here. The last, this sickening last days of the church and its apostasy, the Bible says it has to do with self-deception. Mm-hmm. If a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. I suppose we could call this elf sneezy. I don't know if you understand that sneezes spread diseases. You don't want to hang out next to people that have respiratory sicknesses. Why? Because those little droplets in spray and sneezes are pushing out live bacteria that you might inhale. And the Bible in the book of Job talks about Satan and his sneezings. You know what sneezings are? They're sneezes. He's constantly sneezing, infecting and mesmerizing with myths, serpentine sneezes of coughing and transmitting breathing diseases. Well, you've got the flu and the virus and bacteria and tuberculosis and on and on and on it goes. But in the spiritual world, you have deception. Mm-hmm. And people are thinking themselves to be higher than they ought to think. Amen? Why do Christians want to be so well recognized? Why do we want to cater to the world to win the world? They crucified Christ, not because they loved him. They hated his guts and despised him. And what do you think they think about you? In the elf world, they'll make you think they love you, and they like you, and they'll give you money and permission and liberty, but you're in bondage, brother. That's the elf called sneezy, sleazy, infectious, amen? The world, brother, is it's like an aerosol can of infectious diseases all around us, floating in the air. The mind's in the caves thinking where you're going to get success. You're not going to find success in this world. Well, Christ is coming. What if he doesn't come back? How much longer do you think you're going to live? Amen? Before you face to face with him that made your face. Amen? Praise the Lord. Not very long. Well, the last self is the most important self. You don't want to get this one wrong, brother. It's self-righteousness. If any self needed a doctor, it's this. You could call this self elf doc. Amen? as far as I'm concerned. Self-righteousness is self-pride, self-justification. Every man is right in his own eyes. You've been comparing yourself, commending yourself? You've been talking to people about other people? You've been talking to other Christians about other Christians? Amen? So that's self-righteous. I've been hurt. I've been slayed. No one's going to talk to me. Nobody's going to do that to me. That's self-righteous, brother. Every man's right in his own, but God will judge his heart. You need a dock. Amen? You need to dock that self. Amen? The not-so-Snow White and her seven elves. You need Dr. Jesus. Elijah prayed. Elisha prayed with a boy that was sick and sneezed and sneezed and sneezed till he came back to life. Amen? He's not dead. He's sleeping, Jesus Christ said to Lazarus. But there's one little fella. It's the only person in the Bible, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ ever looked up to. He's in Luke chapter 19. I'll read about him. You don't have to. He was a little fella. Luke chapter 19. His name was Zacchaeus. You know Zacchaeus means clean. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. But I'm cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Not just my sins, but he washed us from our sins in his own blood. This red shirt today is an honor of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's just my reason, amen. But here's Zacchaeus. He can't see Jesus Christ. So he climbs up. He's a little fella. Little people's association. He knows his limitations. He knows if I'm going to see him, I've got to go to higher ground. Let me tell you something. You go to higher ground with faith and you'll see Jesus. Amen. When's the last time you prayed and went to higher ground in faith on your knees? You'll see Jesus. Amen. You'll hear him too. And those pointed ears will shrink right back down to normal size. And Bible says, the Bible says he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. This is the only man Jesus Christ ever looked up to. And when he looked up to him, he looked over him. Amen. And the higher ground, brother, is cross. The Bible talks about charity covereth a multitude of sins. He overlooked his shortcomings, amen, and said, come on down to Zacchaeus. You're on equal footing with me, amen. Because that's what he does with us. Mm-hmm. He makes us equal with him. He gives us his righteousness and takes our sins. Amen. Praise the Lord. He looked up, hooked up, and cooked up a wonderful plan of repentance. Got right with God, amen. Self-righteous, the Bible says, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, talking about the Jews, talking about lost people that don't understand. The self-life will send you to hell if you're trusting your own self to save you. You've not submitted yourselves unto the righteousness of God. Well, I've done that. Well, then after that, what do you need to do? You need to trust that same Christ that you trust to save you, to clothe you in his righteousness. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing, but the church is sleeping. The church is sick. The not-so-Snow White, brother, and her seven elves need to be reminded of this song in this verse, and I'll sing it to you, and then I'll quote it to you, amen, because it talks about, thou art all fair, my love. There's no spot in thee. That's the bridegroom speaking about the bride and what he sees. Thou art all fair, my love. This is Snow White. Amen. The way it's supposed to be. And there's no spot in thee. I don't know if you ever heard that song. And it follows along the theme of this message when the queen asks my magic mirror on the wall. And he answers, my queen, you're the fairest here. So true, but Snow White is 1,000 times fairer than you. Do you own that? Have you heard that? Without God, I could do nothing. Without God, I know I would fail. Without God, my life would be rugged like a ship. Without a sail, without a doubt, he is my savior. He's my strength all along life's way. In deep water, He is my anchor. It's through faith I know he'll be my stay. Do you know this song? Without God, I can do nothing. With you see, Snow White, not so Snow White, and the seven elves doesn't understand this. Without God, I know I would fail. Without God, my life would be rugged like a ship without a sail. I need to sing the last verse. I hope you don't mind. My soul is anchored in Jesus. Though sea billows may roll, Satan's elves have so many temptations, but my God is the captain of my soul. Without God, I know I could do nothing. I know it, Lord. Without God, I know I surely would fail. Without God, I know my life would be rugged like a ship without a sail. Lord, I pray you bless this lesson. Please help us recognize our right as your children to be clothed consciously with boldness as Snow White, with the kiss of your lips, Lord, knowing that our sins are gone. Your kiss wasn't betrayal, it was loyalty, it was faithfulness, and your blood is proof and evidence of that. Thank you for what you've done for us. Help us now to push aside the self-life that sickens you, and may we be clothed in the life of faith, understanding who we are in Christ. I ask in his name, amen. 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 Amen.